Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for bringing us all here tonight. Thank you for giving me this assignment.
Lord, I'm asking for you to bring your spirit and guide us through this lesson tonight. For those on their way, give them traveling mercies. And for the people that are here tonight, please block out all distractions so that we can focus on you. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an honor and a privilege to speak to y'all this evening. All thanks to God. PJ gave me this assignment back in May, so I've been working on it diligently. And tonight, the title is Christian Meets Faithful. So then once these two meet, they go along their journey. But you see, I got up to 12 here. There's 12 other people that they're going to meet along the way. First one is, actually, they already met Pliable in previous chapters. Pliable. And Pliable is a person that is easily swayed or influenced. The second person they meet, Wanton. And this wanton represents a seductive, immoral woman that tries to lure away with offers of sensual enticements. The third is Adam the First. We'll talk about him later. And then he had three daughters. His three daughters. Then we have Moses, which represents the law. After Moses, we have the porter. After the porter, we have four characters that are representing the world: pride, arrogance, self-conceit, world glory, or worldly glory. And then the final one is shame. So these two meet, and then they meet all these other people along the way. So let's get into the narrative. Y'all have your outlines here. So starting Pilgrim's Progress, Christian Meets Faithful, chapter 10, stage 15. Now as Christian went on his way, he came to a little ascent, which was cast up on purpose that Pilgrim might see before them. Up there, therefore, Christian went, and looking forward, he saw Faithful before him upon his journey. Then Christian aloud, "Ho, ho, say, I will be your companion." And that Faithful looked behind him, to which Christian cried again, "Stay, stay, I'll come up to you." But Faithful answered, "No, I'm on my life, and the avenger of blood is behind me." And this Christian was somewhat moved, and putting all his strength, he quickly got up to Faithful, and also did overrun him. So the last was first. Then did Christian vaingloriously smile, because he had gotten the start of his brother. But not taking good heed to his feet, he suddenly stumbled and fell, and he could not rise again until Faithful come up to help him. Christian fall makes Faithful and he go lovingly together. Then I saw in my dream, they went very lovingly on together and had sweet discourse in all things that happened to them in their pilgrimage. And thus Christian began, "My honored and well-beloved brother, Faithful, I'm glad I have overtaken you, and that God has so tempted our spirits that we can walk as companions in this so pleasant a path. Faithful, I had thought, dear friend, to have had your company quite from our town, but you did get the start of me, wherefore I was forced to come this much of the way alone. Christian, how long did you stay in the city of destruction before you were sent out after your pilgrimage? Faithful, I stayed till I could stay no longer, for there was great talk presently after you were gone out of our city, that in a short time, with fire from heaven, be burned down to the ground. So let's look at point number one, the two pilgrims meet. The little ascent, that was provided by God. And that was because, as we remember last week when Lex was presenting, they were in the valley. So he's coming up out of the valley, and then they're going to make their way. So God had set this up for him so that he could look ahead and see that there was somebody actually going the same way, in the same direction that he was going. He asked him to be his friend, his companion. But God has also did something. If you look at the reading, it said that they went on lovingly together and had sweet discourse. And that happened because God had so tempered their spirits so that they could walk as companions and have a pleasant journey. And remember, when he saw him, he started running after him because Faithful said, nope, I can't turn around. I got to keep going. The angel of death is chasing me. So he ran past him, and then the first became last. So let's look at the first scripture I want to look at is Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. Matthew 19, verse 30. Okay, there we go. But many that are the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Reversal of positions. Then they went on to have a conversation about the city of destruction where they came from. So I'm going to read some more of the narrative. And then we'll talk about what they saw in the why they left the city of destruction. Christian, what did your neighbors talk so? Faithful, yes, it was for a while in everybody's mouth. What? And did no more of them but you come out to escape the danger? Faithful, though there was, and I said, that a great talk thereabout, yet I do not think that they firmly believe it. For in the heat of the discourse, I heard some of them daringly speak of you and your desperate journey. For they called this your pilgrimage. But I did believe, and do still, by the end of our city will be with fire and brimstone from above. And therefore, I have made my escape. Christian, did you hear no talk about neighbor Pliable? Yes, Christian, I heard that he followed you till he came to the Slough of Despond, where, as some said, he fell in. But he would not known where have to done, but he would not be known to have done so, but I am sure he was soundly bedabbled with that kind of dirt. Christian, and what said the neighbors to him? He said, since he's going back, been had greatly in derision, that among all sorts of people do some mock and despise him, and scarce will any set him on his work. He is now seven times worse than if he have ever gone out of the city. But why should they be so set against him, since they also despise the way that he forsook? Oh, they say, hang him. He's a turncoat, for he is not true to his profession. I think God has stirred up even his enemies to hiss at him and make him a proverb because he has forsaken the way. Christian, had you no talk with him before you came out? Faithful, I met once with him in the streets, but he lured me away on the other side. One as ashamed of what he had done, so I spake not to him. Christian, well, at my first setting out, I had hopes of that man, but now I fear he will perish in the overthrow of the city, for it has happened to him according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his old vomit again, and the soul that washed to her wallowing in the mire. So let's look at point number two now. They fled to escape danger. The danger is conforming to the world, influenced by the culture, and compromising God's standards. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. Genesis 39, verse 12. There we go. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled away and got him out. This is describing the account with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Let's move on to 2A in the outline. Pliable fell in school, how and why? Let's look at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, and we're looking at verses 18 and 19. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, and a hissing and reproach amongst all the nations, and verse 19, and I will persecute. 19, because they have not hearkened to my words. This is why. They did not hearken to God's words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but you would not hear, saith the Lord. So they did not heed to God's warning, and that is why Pliable fell in the slough. Let's also look at 1 Kings chapter 9, and we're looking at verses 6 through 9. Okay, 1 Kings 9. Okay, there we go. We got it up on the screen. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, or your children, and I will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Verse 7, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name I will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and byword among all people. Verse 8, and at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto the land and to this house? Verse 9, and they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought them all this evil. So this is why Pliable fell in the slough. He did not heed God's warning, and okay, so he's worse off. We were talking about Pliable, and he's worse off now. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. He's worse off now because he rejected God's, and so because of that, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. There we go. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and that soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, Pliable never got out of the city of destruction. He stuck there. Okay, let's move on to the next sections. So I'll read another part of the narrative, and then we'll look at point number three. Well, neighbor, faithful, said Christian, let us leave him and talk of things that more immediately concern ourselves. Tell me now what you had met in the way as you came, for I know you have met with some things, or else it may be writ for a wonder. Faithful, I escaped the slough that I perceived you fell into and got up to the gate with that danger, only I met with one whose name was Wanton, who had like have done me a mischief. Christian, it was well you escaped her net. Joseph was hard to put it by her. He escaped her as you did, but it had to have cost him his life. But what did she do to you? Faithful, you cannot think, but that you knowing something, what a flattering tongue she had. She lay at me hard to turn aside with her, promising me all manner of content. Christian, nay, she did not promise you the content of good conscience? You know what I mean, all carnal and fleshly content. Christian, thank God you have escaped her. The abhorred of the Lord shall fall into her ditch. Faithful, nay, I know not whether I did wholly escape her or not. Christian, why? I trow you did not consent to her desires. Faithful, no, not to defile myself, for I remembered an old writing that I had seen which said, her steps shall take hold on hell. So I shut mine eyes because I would not be bewitched with her looks. Then she railed on me and I went my way. Faithful, when I came to the foot of the hill called Difficulty, let me stop right here and let's look at point number three. Point number three, the two addressed their concerns. Faithful and Christian were talking about leaving the city of destruction, and who did they meet along the way so far? Then they talked about Wanton. Now, Wanton is the strange woman that is described in the narrative. And the portion that I read earlier that described the episode where Joseph escaped from Potiphar's wife, that's the same approach that Faithful used to escape from this Wanton woman. Let's look at Job 31, verse 3. Job 31, verse 3. It is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity. Oh, that doesn't seem like the right verse. And also, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Matthew 5, 28. There we go. But I say unto you that whosoever look upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So this covenant with the eyes, it's a promise that to obey this command could be, because if this is Jesus telling us, he's warning us that once you start looking like that, it's already adultery in your heart. And then the other thing that Faithful mentioned was the flattering tongue. The flattering tongue used to entice him. But the Proverbs tell us what is the consequence of listening to that flattering tongue. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 5. Proverbs 5, 5. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. And let's also look at 22:14, Proverbs 22:14. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. So that's a warning for us. All right, let me go back to the narrative. We're going to pick up at the hill of difficulty. Faithful. When I came to the foot of the hill of difficulty, I met with a very aged man who asked me what I was and whither bound. I told him that I am a pilgrim going to the celestial city. Then said the old man, you look like an honest fellow. Will you be content to dwell with me for the wages that I shall give thee? Then he asked him his name and where he dwelt. And his name was Adam the First, and that he dwelt in the town of Deceit. I asked him then what was his work and what the wages that he would give. He told me that his work was many delights, and his wages that I should be his heir at last. I further asked him what house he kept and what other servants he had. So he told me that his house was maintained with all the dainties in the world, and that all his servants were those of his own begetting. Then I asked if he had any children. He said he had but three daughters, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and that I should overtake Faithful, marry them as if I would. Then I asked how long time would he have me live with me, and he told me as long as he lived himself. Christian, well, what conclusion came the old man to you at last? Faithful, why, at first I found myself somewhat inclinable to go with the man, for I thought he spake very fair, but looking at his forehead as I talked with him, I saw there written, put of the old man with his deeds. The hill of difficulty and the three daughters. So those three daughters, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, they represent these three things. Lust of the flesh is physical gratification. Lust of the eyes, I think of it as a need versus a want. There's certain things that we need, and there's certain things we want, and it could be a greedy longing for something that you don't need. And then pride of life, depending on your own resources, earthly things, no need for Jesus.
So that's why Faithful said, nope, I'm good. I don't want to marry any of your three daughters. And then also, let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 24, to have a little bit more description about this hill of difficulty. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's only one that can deliver. Okay, let's move on. We've covered points 1, 2, and 3. So I'm going to read some more from the narrative, and then we'll look at point number 4. Faithful. But good brother, hear me out. So soon the man overtook me, but he was a word and a blow, for he knocked me down and laid me for dead. But when I was a little come to myself again, I asked him wherefore he served me so. He said, because of my secret inclining to Adam the first, and that which he struck with me another deadly blow on the breast and beat me down backward, so that I lay at his foot as dead as before. So when I came to myself again, I cried him mercy, but he said, I know not how to show mercy. And with that, he knocked me down again and had doubtless made an end of me. But that one came by and bid him forbear. Who was that that bid him forbear? I did not know him at first, but as he went by, I perceived the holes in his hand and in his side. Then I concluded that he was our Lord. So I went up the hill. The man that overtook you was Moses. He spared none, neither knowing he how to show you mercy to the things that transgress his law. I know it very well. It was not the first time that he has met with me. It was that he came to me when I dwelt securely at home, and that told me he would burn my house over my head if I stayed there. But did you not see the house that stood there on top of the hill on the side which Moses met you? Yes, and the lions too. Before I came at it, but before the lions, I think they were asleep, for it was about noon, and because I had so much of the day before me, I passed by the porter and came down the hill. Christian, he told me indeed that he saw you go by, but I wish you had called at the house, for they would have showed you many rarities that you would scarce have forgotten them to the day of your death. But pray tell me, did you meet nobody in the valley of humility? Faithful, yes. I met with one discontent, who would willingly have persuaded me to go back again with him. His reason was for that the valley was altogether without honor. He told me, moreover, that to go there was the way to disobey all my friends. These friends, pride, arrogant, self-conceit, worldly glory, and others who he knew, and he said, would be very much offended if I made such a fool of myself as to wade through this valley. Christian, well, how did you answer him? Faithful answered to discontent. I told him that although all these that he named might kindred of me, and that rightly for indeed they were my relations according to the flesh, yet since I became a pilgrim, that they have disowned me, and that I also have rejected them. And therefore, they were to me now no more than if they had ever been of my lineage. I told him, moreover, that as to this valley, he had quite misinterpreted the thing. For before honor is humility, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Therefore, I said, I'd rather go through this valley to honor that was so accounted by the wisest than to choose that which he esteemed most worthy of our affections. So the law, point number 4, the law of Moses, no mercy.
Remember how this started. Faithful. He got to the hill and he got beat down. And then, right before he was about to die, he said, "He knocked me down again and had doubtless made an end of me, but that one came by and bid him forbear." And that's when Christ appeared to show mercy, because the law of Moses cannot show mercy. The wages of sin is death, and we are sinners. So that is why the law beat him down like that in this episode. Okay. The law knocks you down, but Jesus saves sinners. We can't keep the law, but we know somebody who did keep the law perfectly. Never sinned, never once sinned, and that's the spotless lamb. The spotless lamb that never sinned. So he is our substitute. He's the one that took the beating for us. And then also, Faithful recognized when he was being beat down that Jesus is the only one qualified, our stand-in righteousness. He's the only one qualified to show him mercy because he paid for the sins. It's been finished. The work has been done. Christ is, we all know the definition of the gospel, the person and work of Christ. Christ came down in a human form, never sinned once. He was killed on the cross, and he was resurrected, and he's in glory with the Father now. Let's talk about discontent. That was the other person that Faithful and Christian had a conversation about. I met with one discontent, and he was all about the world. He's trying to reason with him to go back. And the reason, he was like, "You're gonna disobey all your friends, pride, arrogant, self-conceit, world glory." But Faithful was like, the reason that he said he continued that they have disowned me and I have rejected them, and therefore they've never been a part of my lineage. And that's why he was able to move on. Discontent's goal is trying to persuade us to go back by feeding us lies, not telling the truth. So we're almost to the end here. There's another section of the narrative to read, and then we'll move on to point number 5. Faithful. "Yes, I met with shame, but all of the men that I met with in my pilgrimage, I think he bears the wrong name. The others would say, nay, after a little argumentation and somewhat else, but this bold-faced shame would never have done. What did he say to you? What? Why, he objected against religion itself. He said it was a pitiful, low, sneaking business for a man to mind religion. He said that a tender conscience was an unmanly thing, and that for a man to watch over his words and ways so as to tie up himself, that heretic liberty, that the brave spirits of the times accustomed themselves unto would make him the ridicule of the times. It was a shame to sit whining and mourning under a sermon, and a shame to come sighing and groaning home, that it was a shame to ask my neighbor forgiveness for petty faults, or to make restitution where I've taken from any. He said also that religion made a man grow strange to the great because of a few vices, which he called by finer names, and made him own and respect the base, because of the name religious fraternity. And this is, and is not this, said he, a shame? The goal is to make the believer ashamed of what is good. But what's our memory verse? Romans 1:16. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. Our memory verse for the year. Come on, help me out, people.
Verse 16 and 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Believeth to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Verse 17,
therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Disobeying his so-called friends in the valley of humiliation. He gave up arrogance. He gave up pride, self-conceit, and world glory. Let's look at some verses here to describe pride and arrogance. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for as able to judge, this is so great a people. 10, verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for everything for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 12. Self-conceit. More hope in a fool? Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Romans 12, verse 16, world glory. Romans 12, and in verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So the journey starts off, Christian meets faithful. God set them up
so that they would get along and have a pleasant journey. Along the way, they met with Pliable. He got stuck and never returned. The seductive woman, Adam the first with his three daughters, Moses representing the law, the porter warning about the lions and telling them they're chained up, pride, arrogance, self-conceit, world glory, and shame. These are all the things that Faithful threw out so that he can continue on his path to glory. So, in conclusion, what do we do? What do we do when we're in this situation? I know what I do. I would do. I cry, Abba Father, help me. Give me peace and courage to continue. So the final verse I want to look at is Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And we're looking at verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And let's also look at 17. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their discretions, from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Amen.